of Kim Golding versus New Jersey Friendship Pass Incorporated. Can we please have appearances of counsel?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court. Richard Grodek, Pyro Zinner for Kim Golding.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. This is James Santomaro from the law firm of Biancamano and DiStefano on behalf of the respondent, NJ Friendship House.
Welcome, counsel. Mr. Grodek, please go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to begin with some basic background information for the court. Kim Golding was herself a beneficiary of the Friendship House in the past. Friendship House, of course, is a nonprofit providing certain services, including vocational rehabilitation services. Kim had been involved in an accident several years ago, suffered a traumatic brain injury, and became a member or a beneficiary of Friendship House. As she fought her way back from her disability, she decided she wanted to attempt to help others so that they could overcome and succeed as she did. So she applied for employment. November of 2016, she was offered a job as a cook. She is a chef by training. And so she worked as a cook. She particularly worked with beneficiaries, and she called them clients, who are on the autistic spectrum. She taught them how to cook. She taught them food preparation. She ran the lunch grill on a daily basis at Friendship House. And she, from time to time, she would have her clients, those wrestling with autism, work with her. That's the background. 1 year later, 9 months, 10 months later, Friendship House announced that it was going to stage what it described as its first annual Family Fun Day, an event billed for the members, their family, and for the community, to be held on a Saturday in the parking lot of the Friendship House in Hackensack. Kim Golding did not hesitate to volunteer to participate. She testified that her clients work very hard. She wanted to support them. She wanted to make the day a success. She arrived early on the morning of the event, set up for breakfast, was getting ready for the barbecue at lunch when she stepped in a pothole, fell, broke her ankle, and required surgery. As I've said in my paper, she did not get hurt playing softball, as did the petitioner in the Dawson case, or paddleball, as did the petitioner in the Sarcillo case, or in operating a go-kart, as did the petitioner in the Lozano case. She got hurt as she was preparing to do what she did every day, engage in or participate in cooking activities. There are certain facts in this case which are not in dispute. Really, this case could have been tried in the comp court on stipulated facts. Indisputable facts, undeniable facts. She volunteered. She knew she wasn't going to get paid. She had no expectation of getting paid. She knew she was volunteering. She knew she didn't have to do this. She didn't feel pressure or compulsion, and she didn't expect that there would be consequences if she declined. So we start with that as a background. She volunteered. She knew she wasn't going to get paid. She understood the circumstances. The judge in the workers' compensation proceeding concluded that what was important was she volunteered, and this was a social recreational event by definition. She did not consider it to be important that Kim was there to work, not to play, to socialize, or to recreate. She didn't think it was important that she was there to work. She considered it to be dispositive simply because it was a matter of social or recreational activity. And of course, the appellate division then deferred to the compensation judge in that conclusion. We look at this as being fundamentally a matter of statutory interpretation, statutory construction, to which the workers' compensation judge is not entitled to any special deference. There are some very simple, well-known, well-understood terms which need to be considered in how they may be applied to this case. First of all, the well-known expression that those injured on the job are entitled to workers' compensation for injuries arising out of and in the course of employment. So how are those terms, arising out of and in the course of employment, to be applied and construed in a case such as what we're dealing with here? Also, social and recreational activity, statutory exclusion for social and recreational activities. Of course, this court in the Lozano decision recognized, noted, and emphasized that there is no statutory definition of social and recreational activity for these purposes. So in that decision, as I submit in this decision, the court's tasked to determine how to define social and recreational activity for these purposes. There's also another important concept, because we look at this as being fundamentally a question of proximate cause. The workers' compensation statute requires compensation to be paid for accidental injuries arising out of and in the course of employment except when recreational or social activities are the natural and proximate cause of the injury. That's the statutory provision, 34:15-7. So we see this as fundamentally also a question not only of how to define the terms, particularly social and recreational activity, but how do we apply the concept of proximate causation? Every case that I've looked at in this area, the question of proximate causation is not in issue or in dispute. Lozano, the go-kart case. Dawson, the softball case. Sarzillo, the paddleball case. Each of those petitioners got injured while engaging in that activity. The relationship of causation between the recreational activity and the injury was indisputable. Not so in this case. Kim Golding fell down while walking across the parking lot. She wasn't engaging in any recreational or social activity. She stepped in a pothole, she fell, and she became injured. I believe the Lozano decision and some of this court's references and definitions and thoughts in that case are important for this case. In recognizing that the statute does not define social or recreational activity, this court, described the principle underlying the exclusion. Court wrote, employers should not bear the cost of injuries sustained during recreational events that had no work connection, in which employees voluntarily engaged for personal benefit. So if we look at that as the definition of social or recreational activity for our purposes, no work connection, in which the employee engages for personal benefit. We consider that to be the Lozano definition and apply it to this case, then I'm going to submit that the result is inevitable. But there's more from Lozano I want to talk to the court about. The court also spoke of the fact that we must not lose sight of the fact that the Workers' Compensation Act is remedial legislation designed to be liberally construed to serve its social purposes. Court described the act as being, quote, humane social legislation designed to place the cost of work connected injury on the employer who may readily provide for it as an operating expense. So in this case, if we consider the I'm here.
I want to ask you a question because I want to see if this issue is somewhat simple the way you're presenting it. All of our previous cases involved petitioners who were actually involved in the social or recreational activity. You already gave those examples. I take it your position here is that Ms. Goulding was not involved in, or she was not the beneficiary of any recreation or social activity. She was actually supporting her employer's functioning of a recreational social activities that others were benefiting from. And for all intents and purposes, she was performing the same work on that Saturday that she performed during the week, work week. She was cooking. She was cooking for the clients and she was cooking for the families. Is that your basic position?
That's correct, but I think, although that's our basic position, I think it could be considered, our position could be considered to having also a more subtle dimension. Again,
is that because the appellate division added something to the point that Justice Albin is making? The division seemed to focus on the fact that because there were some people at this event that were having fun, then it didn't matter that Goulding wasn't among the merrymakers. She was regarded as being at an event that could be categorized as social or recreational. Let's assume that that is not a fair representation of what the words of the legislature should be interpreted to mean. But the appellate division added an additional nuance, drawing from the cases that you were referencing, which was whether or not the employee had some ability to say no to the requirement of the employer having them there, and whether or not the employer gained some benefit. With that nuance that the appellate division added to this analysis, it seems that the thrust of your argument is that here the employer was getting a benefit of the goodwill to the very people they serve. And it also seems as if this employee was being asked to volunteer for unpaid overtime, giving an extra shift that was, for her, not recreational or social, but was more work along the lines that she typically would perform for this employer. So we haven't confronted facts such as the ones that your client has presented, but it seems as if the appellate division's insistence on yes or no minimized the situation in which this employee was placed when she was injured, performing a function that had measurable benefit to the employer. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely do agree with that. And I think the appellate division's approach in that regard, with its emphasis on the fact that she wasn't compelled, it was volunteer, has no place in the statutory construction. Statute doesn't say anything, and there is no case law. And if our goal, if the court's goal is to consider legislative intent, which I'll get to in a couple of minutes, then there is no basis to conclude that social recreational activity should be defined in a way so as to exclude this petitioner from benefits. The fact that it wasn't compelled, important in the Lozano decision for reasons that were unique there, we submit have absolutely no application to this case. And Justice Lavecchia, on the issue of benefit to the employer.
Before you get
that's
there.
All right.
Just in terms of understanding your reading of the statute and the meaning of recreational or social activities. If everybody's a volunteer at an event or enjoying the merrymaking, to use Justice Ovechkia's phrase, do we look to understand the meaning of the phrase through the eyes of the plaintiff and what she was doing, or at the activity as a whole?
I think that's a very important question, and I believe the legislature intended, again, a matter of legislative intent, the legislature could not have intended to exclude a petitioner who volunteers to work for an event. She's working the event, not engaging in merrymaking, although she's going to enjoy herself because she enjoys her work. She enjoys supporting those with disabilities, and she enjoys supporting the family. So it's very difficult to distinguish, and certainly no bright line exists, but this is a circumstance where the petitioner was there to work, to support. There was a benefit, and this is not purely for, in the language of Lozano, her personal enjoyment. She's not.
So you're relying on legislative intent. Why don't you tell us what specifically you're relying upon?
Well, I'm relying largely on Lozano and the language of this court in Lozano, where it spoke of the basis for the exclusion to be activities where there is no work connection and the employee voluntarily engages for personal benefit. She is going to enjoy herself. Admittedly, she wants to be there to support her clients and their families, but it has a work connection, number one, and number two, it is for the benefit of others. It is to serve the mission of the New Jersey Friendship House.
And it promotes the goodwill of Friendship House, doesn't it, to
it does.
Provide the Saturday activity for beneficiaries and their families. I didn't see anywhere in this record that the employees' families were invited to this event.
That's correct.
Were they?
No, that is correct. And in fact, the event was billed as one for the members, their families, and the community. This part of the analysis, I think, is important or fits in with the exception to the exclusion for regular incidents that have a benefit for the employer. First annual event. It's going to be a regular incident. Then it was
Counsel,
the first event.
You're relying primarily on Lozano, and you're understanding that, but what exactly from the legislative intent, from a sponsor statement or hearings, do you derive this from? Because you said you have to look at the legislative intent. I'm wondering where you're getting that legislative intent from.
Your Honor, there is very little in the legislative statements, as the court observed, and I think it was in the Lozano decision, to help us understand what was intent, what was the legislature's intent. So we derive intent, I believe, from an understanding of the purpose of the act. It is a remedial act to be liberally construed in favor of providing compensation to those injured in incidents arising from and out of the employment. So with that in mind, I find it impossible to conclude that the legislature could have intended that someone performing the functions that Kim Goulding was performing on that Saturday morning was designed or intended to be excluded from coverage.
Is the heart of your argument that this was an event for, the term is members, but apparently clients, that this was an event for clients, that people, that the employees were there not to participate in the contest, but to provide some sort of support for the event? Is that really the most basic line you're asking the court to draw?
It is.
That distinguishes, does it not, this case from just about every other case that this court has decided on this area, because the paddle ball, the softball, virtually every activity in the various cases is employees, let's get out there and have some, you know, recreation and fun. employees, maybe families, maybe not, but employees are the ones participating in the games and so forth.
Absolutely.
Are you suggesting we exclude from those differentiate those cases in some sort of distinct way from employee non-compensated involvement in an event for the beneficiaries, and that could be in a commercial setting for clients, for merchants who, you know, vendors and so forth, for somebody other than the employees? Is that the line you would want to see this court draw?
Yes, it is, and I think the court gets there through its definition of social and recreational activity, again, as defined in Lozano, to be where there is no work connection and where the voluntary engagement is for...
Mr. Grodek, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second because we've lost a number of people on the screen, and I don't know if everyone is present. Chief, are you on? Justice Patterson?
I'm on.
Okay. We cannot
see everybody. I see everyone.
I see everyone on my screen.
Me too. Yeah. I see everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. I can only see three justices.
Same with me.
You're looking at the good looking ones.
That's a dangerous comment.
It sounds like you can hear all the justices.
I can hear everybody.
Yes.
Then let's go for another 10 minutes and then we're going to break.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure, Chief.
Mr. Grodek, I have a simple question in terms of a rule of law. And it's based upon some of the questions that you've been fielding. Based on the language of the statute, if the petitioner is not the beneficiary of the recreation or social activity, then that particular exclusion doesn't apply. She wasn't the beneficiary. She was just doing the same old job she does during the work week.
Correct.
Is that the basic rule that you're looking for?
It is. It is in a nutshell. It is.
Mr. There's a definition that came to mind when I was thinking about your client's position, Mr. Grodek. There's a definition of Puritanism from H.L. Mencken that describes it as the creeping fear that someone somewhere may be happy. It can't be that because there were some people at this event who were happy and were the beneficiaries, that meshes with the intent of the legislature to make this employee working that event the equivalent of those beneficiaries. Does it?
No, it's not. And I have to tell you something. I tried to anticipate every single question and every concept. And a quote from H.L. Mencken was not among them. I do appreciate it.
Okay.
And that leaves open a situation where you have an event where employees are playing softball with clients and everybody is kind of, maybe the clients are the primary beneficiaries, but there's involvement by the employees in the actual fun aspects to it. You're saying this event was for clients and maybe members of the community as well, but not for the employees or their families, and that the employees were there exclusively in a supporting role.
Absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. There is no indication that any employee, let alone Kim Goulding, played any games, engaged in any recreation, was there to do anything else other than to support the beneficiaries. And there's one point also that I think is very important for the court to consider. This is a nonprofit entity. It is not a for-profit entity whose goal is to make money and ensure productivity. There's a mission to be supported. And that mission is on display on that Saturday to provide support for members and their families and the community. It's a visible event. We know from the flyer, which was in evidence of the case, that there are fundraising activities that Friendship House pursues. I submit anything that establishes or anything that begins with visibility in the community, establishes some measure of goodwill, serves the ultimate purpose of the entity to thrive and to support others. So not only do I consider it to be a set of circumstances where Kim Goulding was there to work and support others, but it was also an event that very much would further the goal and mission of her nonprofit employer. So,
Mr. Gronick,
yes.
if your client, instead of cooking that day, had spent the time simply playing games, what would your position be on whether the injury was compensable?
Well, you know, it's hard to answer that question in a vacuum, but if she was playing games and doing so just because she was having fun, that would be akin to the question earlier about an employer, employee, customer, or client-based softball game. But I could imagine circumstances where she was participating in some recreational activity in order to support those who struggle to participate in that recreational activity, and therefore she was doing it for them and not for her. But that's obviously not the case that we have here. If it was, I could imagine a set of circumstances and an argument in favor of compensability.
Thank you. Other questions, anyone?